about from the birth of Christ, a little bit about what's coming this week, our Christmas, what we celebrate. So we're in John chapter 1, and you say, well, this doesn't really have the birth of Christ, but it mentions it, so we're okay. But there's a couple of aspects I want to look at from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to be reading through verse 18, 1 through 18. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name is John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not, receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son. Thank you, Father, for his willingness, not just his willingness, but his determination to come, Lord God, and to follow your direction, to depend upon you, to live out what you put together to pay for our sins, the only satisfaction that could be, the only propitiation that had to be paid, Lord, that satisfaction that was done, that the work is done now. Father God, it's what they looked forward to up until Christ, and what we look back on is that sacrifice in which we are now allowed to come before you. We are now allowed to come into your very throne room. We are now called children of the living God. We can now come before you and cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, all because of what you have done in your Son, because you sent him and he willingly came. We love you. We honor and worship your name. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, I would love to go for about 3 days on this. You guys know how I love going through 18 verses at once, especially these verses. I mean, I could spend today on verse 1. And in fact, a lot of it will be. But we're going to rush a little, just a little. But we're going to look at who Jesus is. We're going to look at different aspects of this, what Jesus shows or who he shows and how this birth affects us. So the first thing I want to do is look at who Jesus is. Look what it says in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, this says a lot. This verse says a lot about the Word. Now, before we get too far, I want you to go look at verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this Word became flesh. And what we know today is this Word is Jesus. The Word here is Jesus. Now, we'll get into this a little bit more. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I want you to know what beginning are we talking about. Was this God's beginning? The beginning of God, or no, it wasn't. Okay, let's just start there. In Genesis 1:1, if you look back in Genesis 1:1, it says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what beginning we're talking about is creation. We're talking about the fact that the Word, who we know as Jesus, was in the beginning, at creation. In fact, in verse 2, it says he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So he was there at creation. Jesus was there at creation. Now think about this, because creation happened roughly 4,000 years before Jesus came to this earth. Roughly about 6,000 years old the earth is now. Creation happened 4,000 years before Jesus was born. But it said that he was in the beginning. So the first thing we understand is he is in the beginning. Now, the word is logos, and it comes, it's related to the word lego, which is I say or I lay. It talks about what is inside coming out and what is out. So often it's talking about something that's spoken, but it's something that's spoken from what is deep inside. So the word is talking about what is inside and what is out. So it's God showing himself inside and out. It's Jesus Christ, who we'll find out is God and showing himself. But that's the word. And it has a definite article. I'm going to get a little technical, okay? It has a definite article. And this is technical because, see, before I understood Greek, I had to learn English. And English makes no sense to me. None. Greek makes a lot of sense because it has specific... You look at the ending on a Greek word and you know exactly what it is, everything about it. English, you don't. You know, is fruit plural or singular? Who knows? You know, there could be three fruit or fruits. Would that be fruits? She's my English person. She corrects me all the time. Okay, but... in the original language, it has a definite article. So what it says here is in the beginning was the Word. I want you to see that. The Word. And look what it says. And the Word was with God. Now, there's a definite article there. The Word was with the God. Okay, so basically we have two persons here, two entities. And then what it says is the Word was God. And there's no definite article. I want you to see that because it's important. The first phrase talks about the fact that he's in the beginning. The second phrase talks about the fact that he's with God. And the word with is that pros. It's right alongside. If you look at the preposition circle, it's that line that's right beside. With God. He was there with God. We're talking about God the Father. And we know that I'm not going to take even an attempt at explaining the Trinity today. You can thank me later. But part of it here, it's here. I mean, we have God the Father and we have God the Son. And if you look back in Genesis 1, you see God the Spirit hovering over the waters. So we see all three persons of God. But what I don't want you to go away from here today and say is, oh, we serve three gods or two. Here's two gods. No. But if you look at this, what he says here is that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there. He was with God, right alongside of God. But look what it says. And the Word was God. Now, in the original language, whenever there's not a definite article, it means that you're talking about the nature of whatever is named. So this Word, who is Jesus, was in very nature God. He wasn't God the Father. He was in nature God. So he was. In fact, in the original language, God comes before the Word. So it says, God was the Word. The Word is God. Jesus Christ is God. So everything about Jesus, where he was in the beginning. When he was, that was in the beginning, where he was alongside with Christ, and who he is God. Everything about Jesus is basically summed up in this verse. That's why I'd love to spend most of the day on this verse. But you know, As we look at this, what I want to do, my main point here today, is to remember who Jesus is. Because if you look down in verse 2, it says he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, so he was there at creation. In fact, he had creative power. Jesus spoke, and it came about. Do you realize that when God created everything, he didn't take something that was already there and create it? He spoke into existence this world. He spoke into existence the stars, into the universe. He didn't reach out and get this glob of goo and say, I'm going to make a star right here with this glob of goo. He spoke and it became true. Jesus was there doing that. Look what it says in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I would love to get into this. But Jesus had life. He was the true life. And in fact, that life is the light of men. What we understand about God is seen in Jesus. What is enlightened with us is seen in him. He took part in creation. He gave light. Creation, in fact, creation had light before the sun was even created. And this is from Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Jesus has true life in him, which is the light. And which overpowers. Look what it says in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness does not comprehend it. Overpowers the darkness. Always in the New Testament, when we see darkness, it's talking about unsaved or sinful. When we see light, it's talking about saved. Those who are saved or those who are righteous. So this is who he is. Okay, I would love to spend a lot of time on. We're not going to. I want to look at what Jesus shows. Look at verse 14. We're going to skip down. And the Word became flesh, so we understood that already, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. So what Jesus shows, it's more of who Jesus shows. The Word, who was explained already, who we've looked at, became flesh. He was spirit, now he's flesh, like us. And in fact, this is in the middle voice, which means that he, in and of his own choice, did this. So the Word, who was there at creation, who spoke into creation the world, decided, I believe by God's design, by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit's fellowship design, to become flesh. To become, not sinful flesh, but to become flesh and blood. We're not talking about sinful flesh, we're talking about flesh and blood. So he decided to do this. This is what we celebrate this week. It's what we're going to celebrate at Christmas, right? The fact that Jesus became flesh. But to really understand that, we need to know who he is. Because you see, with Jesus, the Word was with God. He created with God. He was right alongside with God. He is God. He is in very nature God. He was worshipped. He was bowed down to. He was in the beginning of the world. In fact, he set aside everything that made him look like God to come to earth. We know that from Philippians chapter 2. So he had all of this prestige. He had all of this power. He was great. He was worshipped. He was adored. But now he's a baby. Because think about this. This is what we celebrate. Why do we celebrate that some baby was born and laid in a manger? Because of who this baby is. Now he's a baby. He is poor. He is homeless. They couldn't even find a place to stay. Homeless. He is in a feed trough. That's what a manger is. He's in a feed trough. He is around animals. He's smelly. Has smelly things going on around him. Dirty things going on around him. Family is uprooted. And he has laid aside everything that made him look like who he truly is. And in fact, the Bible says he was comely. That means he wasn't the best looking guy in town.
That's what the Bible says. Why? Because he had everything. He was everything. He created everything. And yet he became this child. Not a beautiful child. Not a wealthy child. Not even of the high priest's son. Not any of that. He didn't come in power. He came in humility. But he did so on our behalf. He did so that we could have what? Keep going. Verse 15. John testified about him and cried. Oh, verse 14. Sorry. We weren't done with verse 14. We saw his glory. Glory. Okay, let's start in verse 14 here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, keep going. John testified about him, crying out, "This is he of whom I said, he will come after me, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." So this is John's testimony of him. Verse 16, "For of his fullness we have all received" what? "Grace upon grace. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were" what? "Given through Jesus?" No, realized through Jesus Christ. Recognized through Jesus Christ. You see, God's grace has been here since Adam. You realize that, don't you? I mean, when God created the world, that was an act of grace. When God created man, that was an act of grace. But when God allowed man to live when he sinned, that was an act of grace. That whole thing was an act of truth. Absolute truth is in Jesus Christ. We see that here. And grace upon grace. So, when Jesus was born, when he came in humility. He lived his life. And what we can see as we look back at Jesus, the fact that he was even born according to Scripture, and laid in a manger according to Scripture, and born of a virgin according to Scripture, and was raised according to Scripture, and died according to Scripture, and rose again according to Scripture. All of that put together is a picture of God's truth and his grace. You see, we look at salvation, we look at our life, our salvation, we think, and Christmas. We look at Christmas and say, oh, you know, well, Jesus was born. And so, yeah, let's just, yeah, Jesus was born. You know, yeah, Jesus was born. Jesus, the Word, who is in very nature God, became a baby. A helpless baby. That couldn't run around right off. Couldn't do anything right off. Except what Ethan's doing now. Couldn't. He became in humility. He was born in humility. He came in humility. He died in humility. And he rose again in victory. You see, I don't think we can really put Christmas together without Easter. It's really hard. Because Christmas was a prelude to Easter. But the thing about Christmas is we don't really understand who Jesus is. Because we still look at him as a man. As a baby. As a man. And he is. But he is God. He is in very nature God. And he came because he wanted to come. It's in the middle voice. He came because he loves us. The Bible says that. For God so, what? Loved the world. That he sent his only begotten Son. We look at Philippians chapter 2 and it says he came out of obedience. But he came. And here, it's in the middle voice. He wanted to come. He did this. God, the God of the universe, did this because he loves us. Because he has graced us, full of grace and truth. That's how we realize, that's how we recognize grace and truth from creation. It's seen perfectly through Jesus. And it would never have been seen without Jesus coming. Jesus Christ was the epitome of God in human flesh. In fact, if you go to that last verse, verse 18, says, "No one has seen God at any time.
the only begotten God who is in the bosom. You see that? The only begotten God, Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. He has shown him through his life. So how does this birth affect us? How does it affect us? Well, go back to verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name is John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about that. Now, John made that very clear, and John's not talking about himself. He's talking about John the Baptist. But in verse 9, it says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. This is Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. He's talking about Israel, the Jewish nation. So here we have Jesus coming. We have the light coming, the life coming in human form, and there were many who did not know him, did not want him, did not accept him. But look at what he says in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So here we're talking about our benefits. It's talking about those who, in fact, look what it says in verse 12 there. But, starts out with but. That's the word Allah. That's the word that means on the complete other hand, from those who didn't believe, on the complete other hand, as many as received. Remember that word? When we went through Romans, we went through Romans chapter 5, it's the word lambano, to receive, to take, to grasp, to hang on to. As many as received him. Look what it says. To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who what? Believe in his name. The word believe, pisteo. That's in Romans chapter 4. So you have Romans 5 and Romans 4, what we've mentioned over and over and over in our church. The fact that we have an opportunity to believe and to receive Jesus Christ. And he says, as many as did that, look what he says. He gave the right, and the word right is that word dunamis, the word power. He gave the power to what? Become children of God. The word become means born. To be born as children of God. Even to those who believe on his name. Who were born what? Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So new life, true life, comes from God. And where is that life? In the Word. And how do we see that life? From the light that he gives us. And how do we have that light? God sent his son. God sent his child. He came as a baby. He came helpless. The God of the universe, who was there at creation, came helpless to give us life, which is the light of all men, so that we can see what God has done. You realize that if Jesus Christ had never come, we could never see grace. We could never understand truth. We had to have this. So at Christmas, we celebrate a baby being born, right? No, we had to have this child come. We had to have God come as a child in helplessness, so that we can have a relationship with him. There is no other way to have salvation except through God sending this small child. Look what it says in verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, not just a natural birth, not because somebody wanted to have a kid. Who were born not of that, but of God. Allah ek theos. But on the complete other hand, ek means out of, theos, God. Your salvation was not your idea. It was God's heart for you. And when you are born out of God, out of his heart, when you accept this free gift that he offers. In fact, he's called the gift here. When you accept that gift, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive lambano, take that gift. You have salvation, and it is out of God. It's not because we're such a good thinker. Oh, I had such a good idea. I'm going to become a Christian. I had such a good idea. I'm going to believe in Jesus to become a Christian. No, it's out of God. It's His plan. And the God of the universe, who created the whole universe, gave His Son. And He came willingly. In fact, it was His idea to come. He wanted to come because He loves us so much. You say, well, now, wait a second. That's just salvation. That's just having salvation. That's just believing. Yes, it is. But you know, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ 52 years ago. And I was 8 years old. And it means more today than it did then. Literally. I still am growing in grace and truth today. Because every year we come back and we say, oh, well, the baby was born. It means more to me now than it did then. Because that baby is God. He's in very nature God. And He didn't have to. He wanted to. He wanted to save me and you. And that's what we celebrate. So this week, as you celebrate, celebrate the life that He freely gives. Celebrate the grace and truth that He showed us, He proved to us. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to show you how much He loves you and how much He's done for you. And it's not me telling you, it's not somebody else telling you, it's salvation is out of God. It's from God. But Jesus is God, and He is the life, and He is the light that shows us the gift that this baby in a manger would accomplish. Is amazing in His life, in His death, in His resurrection. Celebrate Christ this Christmas. Remember who He is, what He did. He came in humility to save us. Trust Him. Depend on Him, just as He depended on His Father. If He did all of this for you, and He did, if He did all of this for you, then He hasn't forgotten about you now. Whatever situation you are in, He hasn't forgotten about you. Look at what He's done to get you. Look at what He's done to save you. He hasn't forgotten you. Whatever's going on in your life, trust Him. Lean on Him. He absolutely loves you. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you.